Welcome to Mystical Dispute, the Limited Magic the Gathering Debate Podcast. I'm Garrett Gardner, a.k.a. G-Guards.
And I'm Carl Chase, a.k.a. Two Duck Cubed.
Today we are going to debate predictions for the Innistrad double feature format, which releases later this week.
This format is going to be half Innistrad Midnight Hunt cards and half Innistrad Crimson Vow cards.
The collation for each pack will be four commons, two uncommons, and one rare or mythic rare from both sets.
And that is definitely going to have some implications on this draft. On top of being a mix-up of the two Innistrad formats, you are also going to have more rares and more uncommons per pack than your average draft set.
And less commons.
And fewer commons.
Fewer.
Get your English right, Garrett. Goodness gracious.
We're trying something out new this week. We've handpicked one card for each color, and we're going to turn it into a little bit of a game. Me versus Carl. And then 10 days after release, we're going to see via 17 lands data who's right and who is wrong.
Which should mostly be Carl being right. And Garrett being wrong.
No, I've got you on this one. You're going down.
You are the man that predicted Lantern Bearer would be the 12th best blue common. I know we haven't talked about that in a while, but I did want to remind you of that. So
this time, everything is different. Promise.
I hope you have a better showing. Otherwise, it'll be another blowout.
I've learned my lesson.
Well, let's get to it, Garrett.
All right, so here's how the game is going to work. We picked five common cards from the new set to battle over, one for each color. We will both predict where each of these cards will rank on 17 lands among commons of the same color when ordered by game in hand win rate. For example, right now on 17 lands, if you rank all the red commons, Flame Blessed Bolt is number one, Abrade is number two, Falcon Wrath Celebrants is number three, and it goes all the way down to end the festivities at number 19. To play the game, for each card, one of us will set a line and choose a breaking point in the overall card ranking. Then the other will simply choose if they think that card will rank over or under that line. So in this case, over will be better or higher than, and under will be worse or lower than. After 10 days into the new set, we're going to look at all five cards and see who got more cards right. Keep in mind there are 38 commons in each color for this set, so the line will be drawn somewhere between 1 for the best and 38 for the worst.
So for example, if we were doing Crimson Vow and we were talking about a card, oh, I don't know, say Lantern Bearer, and Garrett had set the line of, say, I think Lantern Bearer is going to be the 11th and a half best common. And then I said, I think it's going to be better than the 11th and a half best common. And it turns out it's the first best common. So then I would get the point because I said better than 11 and a half.
But if we lived in some kind of alternate universe where Lantern Bearer was bad and it was like the 15th best common, then the point would have went to me.
Let's get to it. I'm looking for a clean sweep here.
All right, start with the first card.
Card one.
In white, we have the hotly contested common, Lunark Veteran. One white mana for a 1/1 human cleric. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you gain one life and has disturb for one in a white for a 1/1 flying, where you gain a life whenever another creature you control leaves the battlefield.
Very few episodes go by without one of us mentioning this card in some form or fashion because it's such a beautiful example for so many concepts. And I do think that this is a really good one to start with because it's going to highlight a few themes that I think we both expect, to be honest, in terms of what's going to happen when you take these two sets and mash them together.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked when it was number one in Midnight Hunt, and now it's going to be in a completely different environment. I mean, this is like a card that was good because of its environment, and now it's totally upended. So I'm really curious where this one's going to end up landing.
You say it's a card that was good because of its environment, and certainly if you go back to one of our first episodes, I did a whole rant where I said about 13 different cards that it was good with and good against and why it was good with those cards. So obviously it was a very good card in its environment. I think the question is it going to make the leap to generically good card, or is it going to come back quite a bit once it doesn't have, for example, decayed tokens to synergize with like it did in Midnight Hunt? And when I say it'll still have decayed tokens, it'll have them as half the frequency as you saw in Midnight Hunt.
On the other hand, there wasn't really a life gain synergy in Midnight Hunt, but there is one in Vow. There's Heron of Hope that gains you life, and then the black-white theme was all about life gain. So I think that it actually has the potential of being even better than it was in regular Midnight Hunt.
I think that because it was also good with a lot of smaller value creatures, for example, the blue-white deck, it was either playing creatures or is playing disturbed creatures back from the yard, and the white-black deck played a lot of small creatures. And also, I think it's probably a little bit less good against big, bomby rares, too.
Yeah.
You play your 1-1, and my counterpoint is a Halana and Elena Partners or something like that, and it doesn't look quite as good anymore. It was a card that synergized well with games going long and lots of trading back and forth, and you slowly gain a life gain edge out of that and end up using that to build your board of synergistic smaller creatures. So I think that might bring it down.
So Carl, where would you draw the line for this card? It's anywhere between number 1 to number 38.
But because we are isolating this to commons, I do want to put a shout out there that I think in general, all common cards win rate is going to go down a little bit given the presence of more rares.
Right. And there's more uncommons.
You just have more strong cards, which means that commons as a weaker card on average is going to go down. And also a lot of times commons are more synergistic cards that you're looking to pick commons that work with other commons. And so not only do you have fewer commons, but the set focus synergies are going to be less developed. So I think that's going to bring down the average game in hand win rate of commons just in general. But that's not what we're doing here. We're rating these cards amongst themselves. So I am going to set an aggressive line, but one that is going to put Garrett in a tough spot.
All right.
It was far and away the best white common in Midnight Hunt, where the commons were good. And it has by far the best game in hand win rate amongst the commons across both sets by over 2 points.
Yep.
So I am going to set the line at 1.5. Garrett, is this card going to be the best white common in both sets? I'm putting you to the test right away.
So I could undermine your point here and I could go with under, but I have a lot of confidence in our Lunark buddy. I'm going with over. So if it's the best ranked game in hand win rate common, I'll take this one. But anything else and you win.
I feel good about my line there. I had to go aggressive. I had to put you to the test right away. Feeling good about my spot.
I like it. Let's go to the next card.
Let's do it.
Card 2.
So for the next card, we are going to go with a somewhat unassuming common from a blue and crimson bow, Stitched Assistant.
2 and a blue for a 3/2 zombie. It has exploit, and if you exploit, scry one and draw a card.
Why would we pick a blue common from Crimson Vow that's right in the middle of the pack at a 54.3% game in hand win rate? Well, you've got the exploit mechanic, which is explicitly good with the Cade tokens from Midnight Hunt. So you look at Startle, you look at Revenge of the Drowned, you look at Flip the Switch, you look at Falcon Abomination, and this card is probably going to have a lot more sacrifice fodder than it did in Crimson Vow alone.
But on the other hand, it's a 3-mana 3/2. So the fail case is pretty bad here, so you really need to have that Decayed token out for it to be worth it. In a way, it kind of reminds me of a bad version of a Static Awakener. It's a lot smaller than the 4/4, and it needs the sacrifice fodder to be on the battlefield when you resolve it. Otherwise, it's just going to be bad. Awakener was really good, but a lot of that was probably the versatility of the card.
That's a fair point. Well, this is the perfect one for Garrett to set the line on.
Yeah. So Stitch Assistant's currently sitting at number 11 in Vow. And again, there are double the amount of commons. There's 38 blue commons. So I'm thinking it might get a slight boost, but even with that, it would be number 22. But looking at the commons from Midnight Hunt in blue, they're so much better, I think, than the Vow commons that I think I'm just going to set the line at 20.5.
That's a good line. I am going to have faith in my points here on Stitched Assistant. I think that 3-mana 3/2 cantrip by itself obviously would still be a very strong card. Obviously, it's not just that. You still got to find something to sacrifice, so you're still going to need to get the Decayed Synergy, and there's only 4 blue commons out of 38, so it's not going to be super crazy plentiful, but I do think it's going to be just enough better that I will go with over or better than 20.5.
All right, so if it's worse, I'll win.
That's how the game works, Garrett.
Yeah, I'm just reminding people. Let's go to the next card.
Card 3.
For the next card, we have Eaten Alive. Eaten Alive is a 1-mana black sorcery. As an additional cost to this spell, sacrifice a creature or pay 3 and a black, and you exile target creature or planeswalker.
I think that this one's going to upend. It is the 4th highest game in hand win rate common in Midnight Hunt right now, but we're going to be living in an environment where every pack has 2 rares, and one of those rares is from Vow. So I think removal is going to be even better than than it was in Midnight Hunt. So I think this card is going to perform really well.
I wonder, Garrett, if two rares per pack, which means six rares per person, is going to make it feel a little bit more like Sealed in that regard.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the main things you hear about the difference between Sealed and Draft, right, is you get more rares, everybody's trying to play their bombs, which tends to make removal better.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not going to play out exactly the same because it's still Draft. You're going to have to find a way to make off-color cards work in this particular environment. But on the other hand, this is kind of the opposite point as I was making with Stitched Assistant. While Stitched Assistant has more decayed tokens because there was zero in Crimson Vow, Eaten Alive is going to have fewer decayed tokens because it's only got half of Midnight Hunt. So I do think that will hurt its performance a little bit.
That makes sense.
So I think you've got some factors that are boosting what you would expect out of this card. And then on the other hand, you've got some factors that would detract from its potential performance, which makes it all the more difficult line to set.
I'm glad it's your turn to set then.
Well, fiddlesticks.
Bleed Dry is the number one Vow common. So I'm thinking that this will be on par, but maybe better. So I think it's going to be really high up there. I'm curious where you're going to set this line, Carl.
All right, I'm going to set another aggressive line here.
All right.
Because I do think that Ecstatic Awakener probably is going to come down a little bit. Same principle on the decayed token consideration there. So I don't know if it's going to come down enough to come below Eaten Alive, but I do think it's going to come down. And that's factoring into my decision on how I set this line. So it is the fourth best in Midnight Hunt, but I am still going to set this line at 3.5 for the combined set.
Well, I got to go with top three, so I will go better.
I think this one doesn't have a super wide range of where it can end up. I think it's almost impossible for it to end up out of the top five.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tight. I'm really interested to see where this one plays out. Hopefully worse than 3.5, though. Let's move on to the next card.
Card four.
Next card is our red common, Voldaren Epicure. One red for a 1/1 vampire. When it enters the battlefield, it deals one damage to each opponent, and you create a blood token.
So this is our first opportunity to talk about the main mechanic in Crimson Vow, which is blood, and how it might synergize with Midnight Hunt.
And I think it will probably synergize less, but blood is inherently powerful enough that it will still be quite good.
I think this was another one of those cards that was unassuming at the start of the format for Crimson Vow and proved its merit through gameplay.
Yeah. So Epicure has blood synergy and it's got sacrifice fodder synergy and it does the one damage. And that was all what made it good in Vow. But one of the things that is interesting is that in Midnight Hunt, there was a theme within the vampires in Rakdos where if your opponent took damage, your cards did something extra cool. And so Epicure suddenly becomes an enabler for those cards. But I still don't think it's going to end up being that good.
Yeah, you know, again, you've got the same kind of... We love talking about one mana one ones in this show, by the way.
Yes, it's our favorite.
Lunark Veteran, Lantern Bearer, Voldaren Epicure. We can't get enough of our one mana one ones.
I mean, I think that WotC can't get enough of one mana one ones because they're just pushing the envelope on those things lately.
You got the same kind of idea here about, you know, a one mana one one in a format with a bunch of rares. Is it going to be able to stand its ground against a higher card quality on average? I'm not sure. Blood's going to have synergies with Disturb cards from Midnight Hunt, so it could be good in red-blue, could be good in red-white,
yep.
Like you mentioned. Got some synergies with the black cards in Midnight Hunt, so definitely all sorts of cross-format synergies, but I also am not sure how it's going to stack up against rares.
It's funny because I thought this card was going to be absolute trash at the beginning of Vow, and it ends up that right now it's the number 5th red common in Vow, so I was dead wrong about it then, and I don't know if I feel a little uncomfortable having little faith in it now, but I still think it's just going to be pretty low.
I feel very comfortable with you having to be the one to set this line.
Also, the red commons in Midnight Hunt were terrible, so that's going to help it a little bit too, I think. So I'm pushing it down overall, and I'm saying 13.5.
Good line, Garrett. So while this doesn't help me individually here with where it's going to end in the red cards, I do think that red is going to struggle a little bit as a color in the combined set, but that's a side prediction that doesn't help me here at all. So Garrett, I am still going to go with better than 13.5.
Sure.
But not really because I've got a ton of faith in Voldaren Epicure, but more that I have faith that there's not enough good red commons that are good enough to beat it out.
That's solid logic to me.
Very tentatively going with better than.
All right. In the books, Let's go to our last card.
Which will be Bramble Armor. Just kidding. We're not doing Bramble Armor. It's in both sets. It sucked in both sets.
Yeah.
We just set like 37 and a half or something like that, and it would be boring. We're not doing that.
Card 5.
Our last card is Flourishing Hunter, a 6-mana 6/6 green common from Crimson Vow. And when it enters the battlefield, you gain life equal to the greatest toughness among other creatures you control.
My first thought is that I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that it is the number one game in hand win rate green common in Vow. I definitely would have put it below Wolfstrike, Weaver, and Hookhand, so I'm really shocked to see it in that spot.
And I think further putting pressure on this card is something that we saw in Midnight Hunt, where because of the efficiency of the removal in Midnight Hunt, kind of bigger, clunkier cards tended to struggle because you had Defenestrate and you had Eaten Alive and you had Revenge of the Drowned.
And like I said before, removal, I'm expecting at least, to be drafted higher and perform better. So a dorky 6-mana 6/6, I expect it to go kind of way down, actually.
So people are going to be preparing for rares, and this is just a less good rare, right? Just a 6-mana 6/6. When you've got 6-mana 6/6s that kill 3 things and draw 3 cards or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what card that is, but that's what every Crimson Vow rare feels like.
And meanwhile, you have some pretty excellent green commons in Midnight Hunt with Eccentric Farmer, which just turned on every synergy in the format, and Shadowbeath Sighting, which was 2 4/4s that also triggered instant and sorcery spells.
So while I both think we agree that this is not going to be the best green common in the combined set, the question is, how far will it drop? And that pressure is on me to figure out the line.
I'm always glad when it's your turn.
It is much better just having to pick a binary over or under than having to set the line, but it is just as much fun. So if you stack up all the game in hand win rates, this one would essentially sit as a 3-way tie in the combined formats, but I do think that this one is going to fall a little bit, so I am going to set the line at 5.5.
You're killing me. I was prepared to go with the under, but you set it lower than I expected you to. I'm still confident that removal is going to be better. People are going to draft it higher. They're going to play it more. So I'm going to go with worse or under.
Well, I feel good about my line then, that I didn't set it at 4.5 there and give you a free card, if you will. No free cards.
I'm pretty excited to shake things up a little bit because Vow is getting a little stale. And even though it seems like they're just stapling two formats together, any format is fun to play for just a week.
I think it's really interesting to see what just subtle differences in things like the number of rares and uncommons, the two formats together versus the formats separate. I think it's going to have some really interesting side effects. There's going to be a few things that nobody predicted that are going to come true when we start to look at the stats. It's kind of a perfect test format to help us understand Limited even better. Why did this card get better? Why did this card get worse? Well, it's because of these new format dynamics that are just slightly different than when the sets came out originally.
I think this is going to totally underline just how important context affects the power level of individual cards. People can look at these cards in a vacuum, but it matters so much where they live. That's the kind of a unique thing with a format where we've played with all the cards from both sets and now they're just stapling them together.
We've talked about it before with Honey Mammoth and Ravenous Lindworm,
yep,
with Snarling Wolf and Snarling Wolf. But it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out here. Hopefully in a victory for Tuduk.
I mean, I'm rooting for me, but you know, to each their own.
So we are going to let this run for 10 days till February 7th, which conveniently is when we'll be recording another one of these podcasts. We'll start that podcast off by letting you know the results of who is the winner of the epic Tuduk versus G-Guards battle.
And I'll take my crown then. Well, that about wraps it up. So thanks for listening to Mystical Dispute. You can check out our website at mysticaldispute.com. I'm Garrett Gardner. You can find me at twitch.tv/gguards.
And I'm Carl Chase, and you can find me at twitch.tv/2duckcubed.
More than ever, shout out to 17 Lands for the data. Please check them out at 17lands.com, and you can support them on Patreon. And shout out to Zach for giving us the idea for this episode. Until next time, stay chill.
Adios. Who is Zach? Oh, I'm supposed to say something here. Strong start.
Good showing.
Jesus, Carl.